just search our hearts this morning, Lord God. Just search our hearts, Lord. No judgment, no pointing the finger. Just search my heart, Lord. Search our hearts this morning. Father, we open ourselves to your word this morning. We thank you for your awesome word. That no word spoken by you is without power, Father. So we release the word this morning. Just like those fireworks that we saw last night, we release an explosion of your word in our lives today, Holy Spirit. We release that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. If that word was for you this morning, remember that forgiveness is an act of our will, and we simply say, Lord, I forgive. That's how we begin that process. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. You can open your scriptures. We're going to be in a couple of places this morning. Still in Nehemiah, but a little bit here and there. And so we have seen Nehemiah. We've seen his heart. We've seen his integrity. We've heard his prayer, and probably like nobody will ever do to you, we've analyzed his prayer, we've picked it apart, and phrase by phrase, line by line. And so from his heart and from his prayer, we see his heart and we see the fiber of a man, just like we do when we hear your prayers. We know your heart when we pray, don't we? We know each other's heart. And so remember, when God puts his hand on a plain, ordinary person, that person is given mountain-matching abilities. He motivates people to accomplish goals and to keep on working. And so we see Nehemiah as a leader, but we also see him as a man under authority. Sometimes leaders are the hardest people to lead, aren't they? Because there's a strength there, and sometimes there's not always a commitment to come under authority. And so until we learn to come under authority, we will never know what leadership qualities are, unless we know what true leadership is all about. And true leadership is just about servanthood. Amen? And so there's a man in Luke chapter 7. You can turn your scriptures there for a minute. Luke chapter 7. He's not named. He's a Roman centurion. And he's a captain over 100 in his area. That's why he's a centurion. He had authority over 100 men. This Roman centurion was part of Roman occupation from the army in Israel, and it's important to understand that, because this Roman centurion asked for help from Jesus, who was a Jew. He's an occupied country, and he's part of the occupying army, and so helping or asking for help from Jesus is pretty unusual. But this captain, this centurion, is an unusual man. He's captain over 100, but he also knows what it is to be under authority. He knew that in order to have authority, you had to be under authority, because that's God's divine order. Even Jesus oftentimes referred himself to be under the authority of his Father. Amen? And he said, I can't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it, because he knew the chain of command and he knew what authority was all about. And so we might know that Nehemiah was a man with authority just by understanding the way that he was under authority. Remember, he didn't force his way to the king and make demands and say, I'm called of God, you have to let me go. Many, many years ago when we first started, we had our offices here. There was a woman who came. We're going back like 18 years. And a woman came and she asked to see me, and we went into the prayer room, and she chatted with me for a little bit, and then she said, you know, God has given me this word for you. And I said, just a minute, can you just tell me like what church you're associated with? Who's your pastor? And she said, I go to various different churches and I really don't have a pastor. And so I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to let you give me a word because I believe that you're out of line scripturally. I think that if you want to come and prophesy over somebody, then you need to be under the authority of somebody. And so she left quite irritated and annoyed with me, and I've never seen her since. At least that, not that I know of. I sometimes forget, so who knows, maybe it was you. But Nehemiah didn't do that. He waited for the chain of command, waited for the one whose authority he was under, and then he moved. And, you know, sometimes I think if we, the church, and I don't just mean the Joshua Center or Core Church, if Christianity could just get a hold of that truth alone, that we are under authority, there's such security and such safety under authority, and it gives us greater authority, then I think that we could get a lot more accomplished than what we're doing. So Lone Rangers, or people that are not, I think things are changing a little bit. Maybe many years ago there would be people that were just, you know, grazing on this church. They'd come here for a bit and then they'd go somewhere else and then they'd go somewhere else. They're just, they've got this great gifting and this great enablement and great call of God on their life, but because they can't settle in anywhere, it voids the authority that God wants to give them, that God wants to give us as well. And so there's safety in being under authority. Not being under authority is a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Dangerous for a person on their own and dangerous to the body. And so in Matthew chapter 8, as well as Luke chapter 7, I'm just going to read Matthew chapter 8, verses starting at verse 7. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Matthew 8, verse 9. "I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my servants, do this, then they do it." And Jesus, when he heard this, he was amazed. He turned to those who were following him and he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." And so I don't know, you might ask, like sometimes I ask, what's being under authority got to do with having faith? Well, apparently a lot. So we're just going to walk through this just a little bit. If we go back a few verses earlier, either in Matthew chapter 8 or Luke chapter 7, it's the same account. And before that, you'll notice that Jesus is teaching about hearing the word of God and putting the word of God into practice. He said, "You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't practice what I tell you." Let's say that out loud. You call me Lord, but you don't practice what I tell you. I think some of you are a little weak on that. You call me Lord, but you don't practice what I tell you. Now, we could just land there for a while with no judgment and no condemnation, but how often do we read the word? Do we hear the word from someone in authority? Not only the pastor. This isn't about, you see, I draw back from teaching on things like this because the congregation then thinks, oh, you're just trying to get people to submit to you. No, we submit to the word, however the word comes. And Jesus said, "You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't practice what I tell you to do." That's pretty serious. And then he goes on and he gives two illustrations. He gives the illustration of people that hear the word but don't do the word. And Jesus said, "You are like someone who builds their house on the sand. The waves come." Notice that in the two accounts, the same set of circumstances come. Just because we stand on the word and we're word people doesn't mean I'm not going to get tossed and the torrents aren't going to come, that the circumstances aren't going to get difficult. The difference is that if I stand on the word, my foundation is on the rock, Jesus said. How many of you remember? Corbin, do you remember Jesus and the story that he told about the two houses built, one on sand? Nathaniel, do you remember? The other on a rock? And one stands strong. Which one stands strong? Church, which one? The one on the rock. That's the foundation, built on the rock. We know the little song, don't we? Is the little song going through your head, you know? And it's a good reminder. And so Jesus said in Luke 7:47, anyone who comes to me and listens to do my word but doesn't do them, he is like someone who builds their house on the sand. And when the torrents come, when the rain comes, when the hard times for us, when the difficult things come, then you're like you've built your house on the sand, and it's going to fall. It's going to collapse. It's going to collapse. You know, this is, I forget what movie it was, but they had a little robot that went around searching the planet, and when anything came, it was like, danger, danger, warning, warning. Will Robbins, I think his name was, right? Okay, I'm going way back. But warning, warning, this is what this is right here. Warning, if you read my word and you hear my word, you're responsible for what we hear, and you hear my word and you don't do what it says to do, then there's going to be a collapse. Who likes to preach that? But if you hear my word and you do what I tell you to do, then you're going to be strong. Your house isn't going to collapse. The rain will come. The hard times will come. Things will come against you. There'll be times that you're going to say, but I've put everything on the line. I stepped out in faith. I did this, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Those are the torrents. Those are the storms that come, and we draw back and we say, I'm hunkered down here. I'm anchored in here. God said it. I'm believing his word. Wild cheers go up from the congregation, because that's the truth. Listen, if somebody in authority in your life, be it a parent, for kids in school, a teacher, a pastor, someone in spiritual authority, says to you, this is what the word says, you need to do it, and you say, I'm not doing it, then those people have no authority in your life. You've said, you're not the authority in my life. And so this is our authority. And so if Jesus tells us to do something and we don't do it, then we have no authority. Because you're not my authority. I'm going to do some of this, but well, hey, when it comes to giving my money, I think I can make my own choices here. Then there's no authority. This is so good. There's no authority in the financial realm. There's no authority. You can name and claim all you want, but if we're not doing what the Lord tells us to do, then there's no authority to say, hey, wait a minute. I've given this illustration before. Let's talk about areas of finances. If I go to the bank and say, I'm going away to the United States, I need a few hundred dollars, and they say, you don't have any money in your account, then what can I do? Back off and say, well, I guess I don't have any money in my account. But if I've put money into my account, I have the right and the authority to withdraw. Listen, this will set you free. This will pay some bills in your life, right? It will. And so the authority has got to be the word of God. If we are going to be a church that is based on the word, then all of us, we are the core group here until the floods come in, right? Then we are going to be the ones that need to be saying, Here's what the word says, so I'm just going to do what the word says. Because what that does is I now come under authority of Jesus and the word, because they're the same, which gives me authority. The Roman centurion knew what that was about. Last year, probably about July, my birthday's in January, and so in July I was driving to the church and I got stopped by a police officer. Lights going, and of course I'm thinking, I wonder if she's going to just drive right by me or what, because I'm not speeding, I haven't done anything wrong. And so she, you know, pulls me over, and I look at her, and she says, your sticker's out of date. And I'm like, oh, my birthday. And she looks at my license and said, and your birthday's in January, and it's July? And I said, oh, my gosh, I rooted through my stuff. I'm sure, I was so sure I went out and bought that sticker. And she said, no, you have no sticker. You need to, oh, but I can't give you a ticket, she said, because you're Jeff Clark's mom. So she knew, but she said to me, you need to get that taken care of right away. And because she had authority in that realm, I went to the license plate place and I got my sticker immediately. Now, I did try to get a deal because 6 months had already been elapsed, but apparently they don't give deals. But she had authority in the realm that she pulled me over with, so I'm not going to say, oh, well, too bad. You see, a lot of what's happening now in our this new emerging generation is there's no authority. They just, you know, it's like the days in Scripture where it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so that's kind of where we're at now. Well, why do I need to listen to you? And we as the generation leading the next generation, which we all are, we need to hold fast and we need to show our children and the next generation that there is an authority figure. Otherwise, we are not going to be under any authority, and so then that takes away our authority. Now, I'm strong on this because, and I'm going to land on this for the rest of this morning, because it's important. As I was preparing this message, it didn't start out this way, but as I was preparing it, I got so excited about it, realizing that if we could just come under authority of those God's placed over us, of the Word, of our bosses, who we work for, then we get authority. We get authority. And oftentimes, I think that we're weak in our authority because we haven't come under authority. And if you have come under authority, then use the authority that God's given you. Begin to pull some stuff in. Begin to place a demand on the anointing of God. God, we've done these things. We've done what we're supposed to do. When somebody tells me to respond to the Word of God, I listen to that person. The people on the worship team have authority because they're on the worship team. And when they say we're going to sing that again, and I wasn't looking around, so if this is you, then I'm sorry. But if we just sit down and cross our arms and say we've already sung that once, why do we need to sing it again? Because the person that we placed in authority is now saying God wants us to sing it again. And so when I come under that authority, when somebody up there says, why don't we move forward? Why don't we just come forward in response? Then I'm going to come forward because we're under that authority and it gives us great authority. When I was preparing this message, so I'm typing away and I hear this boom, 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 boom. I look out the window and fireworks are going off. And I thought, oh God, I pray that as I preach this morning, that in my congregation, fireworks will go off. That there will be an explosion of the Holy Ghost in our lives to realize when I come under authority, I get authority. You know that, even as we're young kids growing up. You know that. If you do what your parent tells you to do, pretty soon your sibling says, oh, you're just the favorite child. You're not the favorite child, you're just the obedient child. I've had one or two of those in my life every once in a while. Only one, yes, you're right, and that was Jeff. So if a spiritual leader or a pastor in your life or some other spiritual authority gives you the word and you disobey, we just don't bother doing it, it means they have no authority in your life. You made that call. So if we don't come under authority, we have no authority. Say that. If I don't come under authority, I have no authority. Amen. So, again, Lone Rangers, they go to church here and there, and they want to be used of the Lord, great gifts in people like that, but not coming under any authority. Listen, I probably more than anybody realize that we are not perfect, that this church is not perfect. There is no, oh, Brenda's shocked by that. I'm sorry to shock you. There's no church that's perfect. And so I realize sometimes it takes a while to find where you fit. And so I'm not talking about people that are on a search for a church, but people that nearly all their lives have never put down roots in a church. When you don't put down roots, that means you don't come under authority, which means you don't have any authority. And so we need to be really, really careful. People sing all the songs, they look really good, but they have not yet come under authority. So I want to give you some examples here. Okay, so within this church many, many, many years ago, most of you will not know these people. They were living together. They had intended to get married, but they were not getting married. They were living together with all the perks that go on in a married life. And so Pastor Ace and I met with them again, this was a long time ago, and said, you guys need to get married. Well, we're planning on getting married. But you need to live apart until you are married. Well, no, we can't. We don't want to do that. And for them, it was some sort of a money thing. And we just said, you need to live apart. And they refused to do it. We said, you can go to City Hall right now. You can get your license. Pastor Ace and I will marry you. No, I want a big wedding. I deserve a big wedding. Well, then we took away all their excuses. Then you can have a big wedding. You can have a big wedding later. But if you're going to live together and sleep together as husband and wife, then you need to either part or you need to get married. And they refused to do it. And so we declined their membership. And they left the church, and then in a little while they said, okay, so if we get married, when we get married, can we come back to the Joshua Center? Because they loved the church. They loved the people. They raised their hands. They sang all the songs. To look on the outside of them, you would just think, wow, great people. But not coming under the authority of the word, first of all, and then the authority of the pastor. So when they said, when we get married, they haven't done it yet, but when we get married, could we come back? And I said, what would be the point of you coming back? You don't listen to what your pastors are saying. Am I being hard this morning? Sometimes you need to be hard. Sometimes love is tough. And I said, what would be the point? You for your benefit, you need to go somewhere where you can say, I believe what you're saying. I'm going to do what you're saying. I'm going to listen. I'm going to live to the best of my ability what you are preaching. And if you don't believe that in your pastor, then you need to find another place to go, is what I said to them. And it wasn't about... It wasn't about you have to do this. Do you get what I'm saying? Like if you're not listening to somebody, then that person has no authority in your life. It's like children in school that just get up, walk out of the classroom, wander the halls, come back where they want. Well, there's no authority. You don't believe the teacher has any authority in your life. In fact, we hear people say, "You're not the boss of me," right? That's what our kids say, hopefully to their siblings, not to you as their parent. But you're not the boss of me. But it's not about being the boss. It's about that authority figure that the Spirit of God wants to raise up again, especially in the area of Christianity. Was I mean to that person? No, I wasn't mean to that person. It would have done them no good to be here, to sit under someone that they did not respect the opinion of when it comes to the Word of God. You can disagree with me on opinions of other things, but not the Word of God. Here's what the Word says. Remember, it's not of your private interpretation. It's not just, well, this is what I think it means. No. We'll move on. So, then there, on the flip side of it, a simple thing. One of the young people in this congregation called me or texted me, somehow got a hold of me, and said that they were really worried, very concerned about something that was going on, something that was happening in their life, and they just needed a breakthrough. And my word to them was, you need to sing. Don't do anything else. Just get in your car, and when the floods come, when all that stuff comes, you just begin to sing praise to God. And they text me a little later, and I said, did you do it? And they said, yes, I did. And there was a huge change in my life and in my circumstance and my situation. So little things like that tell me that that person is under submission. And submitted, we hate that word submission, don't we? We think it's the S word. You know, it's a bad, dirty word, but it's not. It means to come alongside, like an army, it's a militant term, to come alongside, to join ranks together. And so because she came under that authority, the word that I gave her was just sing. I want you just to sing through this. And when she came under that authority, there was a breakthrough, because now she had authority to break through. So good. It really is so, so good. You guys are not looking happy at me, but this is so good, so good. So listen, we have guest speakers from time to time. When they stand behind this pulpit, they are the authority. That's why we are very careful who we let come and stand behind this pulpit. So do you think that when Glenn preached, and he preached on laying out the path and following the path that God has given to you, that was just a nice little golf word that we just give a little clap to and say, woo? Or was there authority behind it to say, oh, I need to walk on that path? Do you think that when Ron came and he laid down his hockey stick and said, we need to commit ourselves to the Lord, we need to say, here I am, Lord, use me? You think that was just, it was a great message, and we say, yay, that was a great message. What was great about it? Are we going to come under the authority of that? Or are we just going to say, wow, that was good? Doesn't matter whether it's good or not. It's not the deliverance that's important. Do you think when Linda comes and stands up here and gets the three men standing up here talking about the Word, talking about the Spirit, that's just, oh, that's so good. I remember that. That's so good. No, do we come under authority of that? Am I now saying, okay, body, mind, you're going to come under subjection to the Spirit of God in me? Do we remember that part of it? Because it's important. These are the words of God. If we merely hear and don't practice doing His words, our lives are built on sand without foundation. And when the torrent bursts, it collapses and falls. Authority given to those under authority. And speaking of authority and taking our place, we need to take authority over our flesh and over ourselves, our minds, how we let them wander, where they go to. The word this morning was about unforgiveness. That's the word of the Lord. If you submit to that, when we submit to that word, authority comes. But if we stand back and say, that person does not deserve forgiveness from me. Well, first of all, who do you think you are? You're not God. And God's forgiven. He forgives everything. He forgives everything. Everything He forgives. So who do I think I am not forgiving? The hurt, the pain, yeah, it's there. But when I submit to that word, the word of God that says forgive, when I submit to that word, all of a sudden I get authority. And so I was out for a walk last night, and my mind started to wander. And when I talk about our minds wandering this morning, at this point I'm not talking about wandering to lustful things or things like that. I'm not talking about that. I think we all know that those things are givens and we need to pull those things down. But I had watched a show that I really, really like, and it was the last of it. And it was quite melancholy at the end, you know. Everybody was happily getting married and, you know, moving on into the future. One lady didn't, she would really like to stay in the past. And so when I went for a walk, I thought, well, I'm just going to take a Kleenex because I really do feel like crying, you know. And so I tucked a Kleenex in my a little pouch there. I didn't, not a fanny pack, but I I had a pocket and I tucked a Kleenex in my pocket and I went for a walk and I started thinking about the future. Okay, so, you know, I'm getting older. We still have not found an associate pastor, you know, and what about this? And then what about this family? And what about these kids? And my mind just started to wander in this melancholy feeling. And all of a sudden, and it was a suddenly, I said out loud, Joy Clark, you are not doing this. You sang it this morning. I say to the darkness, you do not own me anymore. And you see, when we see the devil come, and we see the devil come with lustful thoughts and murderous thoughts and bad things and bad attitudes, we say to the darkness, you don't own me anymore. But when my mind starts to wander just on discouragement and just my finances are really crummy right now and just these people did this to me and I'm not sure why. You see, we don't say, hold on, that's darkness. I'm not even going there. And I said out loud, you are not going to do that. It's like a parent that would talk sternly to their child. When our kids were older, we had, Ace and I had friends, and one of the husbands was, well, he was an unusual person. And so our kids were, you know, one of our kids, which will remain nameless, was talking about this person. I'll say his name is Bob. It was talking about Bob and him and his friend. Oh, I've told you who it was. But anyway, they were, you know, saying, oh, he's such an idiot, you know, he does this and he does that and blah, blah, blah. And I happened to walk into the room and I heard this and I said to both him and his friend, that's enough. That person is my friend. You will not speak about him like that in this house. I think they still remember it to the day because I think I shocked them. Because what they were saying might have been true, but you're not going to sit around and bash my friend, even if what you're... You know what I'm saying? And so we need to do that with ourselves and with our minds. Because here I am bashing myself. God doesn't think of me that way. I don't know if you know it or not. But God thinks I'm highly favored. God thinks I'm the best Joy Clark preacher that there is. Can you stand it? You might not think that way. And frankly, Scarlett, oh, sorry. I mean, what does it matter? What matters is what God thinks. And we have to take authority and pull ourselves back like the three men Linda showed us standing up here and say, mind, you are coming under the authority of the Word of God. Because if I don't think of myself the way God thinks about me, I step out from under that authority. That's as plain as simple as it is. But we don't connect the dots. We just get down on ourselves. We let our mind wander. And my mind was wandering to a place that I knew where it was going to end up. You would not be getting this sermon this morning. I would be whining about something. And so, what was the path? Fear. Oh my gosh, what is going to happen to the church? Discouragement. I've got three preachers in here that preach a lot better than I do. Fear, discouragement, rejection. Come on. We let our minds wander. When it comes to our children, we let our minds wander. And we have to pull it back and saying, my children are going to be blessed and taught of the Lord. Because I'm saying to darkness over their life, you are not going to prosper. And until they can get in gear and begin to speak over their own life, then I have a place of authority in my children's life. I have spiritual authority over my children that never ends. They have my DNA, I have theirs. Right? So I have authority. I have prayed so many things for my kids that have come to pass that they don't even know I was praying about it. I have authority in their lives. Attitudes changing, etc., etc., etc. I had to take authority on that little walk over myself and begin to say, you are not going here. Here's what God says. If we don't take authority, if we don't walk in the authority of the believer, my goodness, we have authority in Jesus Christ. All authority. He's given us all authority. Come on, he's given us authority when we come under authority. He's given us authority if I come under that authority. Walking under authority, having authority, that's why Jesus said at the end, I haven't seen faith like this. Because faith is connected to authority. And sometimes that's why we think, I don't have any faith. What's wrong? All these things I'm praying for, I just don't have faith. It seems like my faith is like nothing. Listen, all we need is a mustard seed, right? I don't need any big faith. I just need tiny little mustard seed faith. And sometimes we don't have that because we're not submitting to the authority of the Word of God. Think of how Nehemiah must have felt as a cup bearer, soon to be construction supervisor. His hands were soft. His hands were clean. There was no dirt under his nails, Manuel. He didn't know how to hold a hammer. He never held a hammer. He held a cup all of his life. He didn't know what it was to even govern people. He might have had some cooks that he had to work with. But a whole construction crew? Like, that is way out there. Way out there. He had no experience with what Nehemiah was about to undertake. No experience at all. But he said to the God that he trusted, the solid rock that his foundation was built on, here I am, Lord. If you can use anything, use me. Here I am. Listen, some of you right now are in a place where in your families and your relationships, you have no experience with what you're going through. You can't pull back and say, oh, we've been here, been there, done that, so I know how this works. It's like kind of when you're driving and your GPS doesn't work and you have no idea where you're going. You have to depend on something. I can't draw back. I've never been there before. Some of you are there in that place in your family. You have nothing to draw from on your experience. You can't say, I know what to do. I know what to do because we've been there and this has happened. So what do? You wait on God. You grab hold of your mind. You grab hold of your thoughts. And you pull them down. And you submit them to the Word of God. That's what you do. And you wait for God. God's not in a hurry. What is it Linda says? It's a walk. Or she says, a walk. Right? It's not a run. It's a walk. It's a cruise through. You wait on God, but you grab a hold of your mind and your thoughts and you take them captive. You make your brain, you make your mind controls your brain, not the other way around. You make your brain do what your mind tells it to do, which is what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. Doesn't matter whether it seems outlandish, whether it seems weird. The other day, we had a police officer. He needed to come and pick up something from Brenda. Well, maybe I should explain. But anyway, he had to get some information from Brenda, and it was Wednesday prayer meeting, and we were in the prayer room praying up a storm, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to go pray for that police officer. And I thought, whoa, that's going to be kind of weird. You just kind of march down the hall and lay hands on somebody and pray for them, you know, like. And so I pushed it aside, and we kept praying, and it kept coming, and it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, so here you are in prayer meeting asking to hear from me, and when you hear from me, you're just going to ignore me, Joy? And so I watched, and when they moved down the hall and they were nearly finished, I went over and I chatted with them a little bit. And then I said, would you mind if I just prayed for you? And he said, no, not at all. And so I laid hands on him and just had an opportunity to pray for him and to believe for God in his life. And so we have to submit our minds, submit our wills to the Holy Spirit in things like that he tells us to do, a simple thing. If I hadn't obeyed, he probably wouldn't have gone out and got hit by a car. He probably wouldn't got shot. He, you know, I would have still been saved. God would have still loved me, but I would have missed hearing his voice and missed. I came back thinking, I did it. I obeyed Jesus. I obeyed the Holy Spirit. And that's such an awesome, great feeling, isn't it? To know, I don't know what's going to happen or if anything's going to happen, but I listened. Oh, such a great feeling to listen to the Lord. So you wait on God, you pull yourself back, and you begin to walk in faith. Therein lies the challenge. You walk in faith. You come under authority, which gives us authority, and we walk in faith. There was a time when I used to say to the Lord, because, you know, Pastor Sue is sort of the bishop of our church here, and whenever we have problems, we can go to Pastor Sue about it. And I used to say to the Lord a lot, you know, I hope I'm not to you guys, but to me, I'm a bit of a whiner when with the Lord. You know, I find myself just, Jesus, why couldn't you? And I would say, Lord, you know, I really don't know how to run this church. Why couldn't I have sat under Pastor Sue? Why couldn't have I have just sat under Pastor Sue for a couple of years, learned the way she did things, and then we would be better? And the Holy Spirit said to me, because I don't want you to be like Pastor Sue. That's her. I want you to be like you. So sometimes we think we don't know what to do, and we don't know how to navigate through this. But if we would just wait on the Holy Spirit, come under the authority of the Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, it's good. Moses, he didn't know how to deliver anything. He was a murderer, for goodness sakes. He was a murderer. You know, God, couldn't you let me maybe map out the desert before we walk through it? Right? And what about Nehemiah? Well, maybe if I could get some training and construction, then God, maybe I could do this. But he never said anything like that. You know that God doesn't only call those who are able. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So the word for being under authority, again, is that word submission. We dance around it. We don't like it, because the bottom line is none of us like being told what to do. None of us like being told what to do. None of us like being told what to do, unless it's my idea. But when it goes against what I want to do, doesn't something rise up? Am I the only one in the place that, you know, Pastor Ace, even simple things, driving along with him, why are you going this way? Let's not go this way. I don't like this way. Shut up. He's driving. Let him drive the way he wants. Slow and steady. No, I'm just kidding. Submission. That's why we don't. You don't need to wear the cone of shame, honey. It's all right. It's me. And so anyway, lack of submission in the tiniest form is rebellion. In its smallest seed form, it is rebellion. So let's not allow pride and rebellion to be in our heart, because it will take root. And like the centurion, First of all, interesting, the centurion in the Luke passage says that he sent some Jewish elders to talk to Jesus and to say, will you come and lay hands on my child and heal my child? Now, why would he do that? Why is a man under authority, with authority? Why didn't he just go to Jesus and just say, you know, Jesus, hi, my name's Roman, I'm the centurion. And will you come and, you know, I've got this sick slave, will you come and heal him? But he didn't, because he knew authority. He knew that Jesus was Jewish, and he knew the Jewish elders had authority in Israel. And so he even came under their authority. When the elders, Luke says, when the elders came to him, they said to Jesus, you've got to come to this man. He's worthy. He is a great man. He loves our nation, even though he's here, you know, on this assignment, and he's a Roman. He loves Israel. And not only does he love Israel, you see that synagogue over there? He funded building that synagogue. He's a great guy. You should go and see him. Great guy, right? So Jesus goes and sees him, and we find the centurion has a totally different attitude about himself. Because when you submit and when you come under authority, all of a sudden you have a reality check of who you are and how God sees you. And he ran to Jesus and said, you know what, you can't even come to my house. I don't even want you to come to my house. I'm not worthy. Everybody else said he was worthy, but he didn't say that about himself. Because there's humility in submission. You can't be proud and be submissive. They don't mix. But there's a humility in the midst of coming under authority that says, you know what? All you have to do is say the word. I know that because I'm a man under authority, and I can say to this servant, go, and he goes, and he has to do this, and I can say to this one, come here, and he will come. So I understand authority. And so all you need to do, Jesus, is just say the word. And Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. That's a powerful, powerful statement of a man who knew what it was just to come under authority, of a man who knew what it was. I know the chain of command. I know what the authority, I know what a person operating in authority can do. You just speak. Don't even go lay hands on them. I've seen you spit in people's eyes. You don't even need to do that. Hallelujah. See, somewhere I'll get the fireworks going off. So, we know that the word is seed, and the Holy Spirit broods over the seed, waiting for you to water it. So, how do we water it? We agree with it. On my walk, yep, Lord, I'm not a failure. Nope, not buying into that. I'm not buying into discouragement. You've got me in the place because I'm, well, let's not talk about me. But that's what I had to do. I had to come under the word of God. I had to agree with the word of God. Here's a great scripture. God, I learned it at Kenneth Copeland, God is watching over his word to perform it. So if there's no word in me, what's he got to work with? What's he got to perform? Nothing, because there's no word in me. But as I began to speak the word of God over my life, even simplicity on that walk, all of a sudden, I got something to watch over and perform right now. But if there's no word in us, if we're always backing up about our finances, about our faith, about our families, if we're always backing up on that and we're not standing on the word, then God comes and says, oh, yep, they're walking in the word. So here we go. They're claiming that word. I can watch over it to perform it. And then you know what we do? We pull out the root of the seed. We pull that seed right out of the ground, root and all. Even though it's begun to root, we pull it out and we say, well, I thought it would be 3 feet by now. But look, this thing's only 6 inches by now. It's not working. And God says, I have nothing to watch over now. I can't perform anything over it because you've just uprooted my seed. You've just uprooted the word. Come on, that's good. That's so good. He watches over his word to perform it. Linda said to me, God said to her husband, give me something to work with. Are you giving God something to work with on a consistent level basis? Or are we planting here, pulling it up? Planting there, pulling it up? I gave my tithes, nothing's happening. Yes, it's going to, because it's the word of God. With this, he created the earth. Right? He spoke a word, and fish came in the ocean. Oceans were created, skies, stars. With what? A magic wand? No, his word. There is such authority and such power in the word of God. Such power. And if we just come under the authority of the word, just the word, just come under the authority of the word, just start to believe the word, just stop pulling up your seed, just stop saying, well, I've done that, but nothing's happened. No, what's the word say? Oh, I will say to the darkness, though, that's darkness right there. That's darkness right there. That's darkness that says, well, I've done this, but God's not doing his part. That's darkness. And I say to the darkness, you don't own me anymore. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. You know, you can't say that very long with your shoulders down. You can't say that very long with discouragement attacking your heart and your life. I'm a child of God. God watches over his word to perform it. And if I don't believe in the authority of the word of God, I won't and I don't act on it. So why did I suddenly stop myself from thinking those thoughts? Because I know what God's word says about my life and my circumstances. What I was thinking wasn't lining up with the word of God. Authority and faith go hand in hand. When you're reading through the book of Nehemiah, which I've encouraged you to do, look for faith. Look for his faith. You might think it's not there, but it's there in droves. Look for the action that he now takes. Because he spent time praying. He spent time getting a word from God. He goes to the king. The king miraculously opens doors before him. Gives him exceedingly abundantly above all that he asks or thinks. Man, the man is so bold. Okay, so I'm going to go. Well, how long are you going to be away? Well, I think I'm going to be away this long. Okay. And so just before he turns to go and just before the king drinks the cup, he says, oh, and by the way, could I have a couple of letters? Because I'm going to need some lumber and I'm going to need some protection and I'm going to need some of this. And so you see his boldness just steps in. Why does that happen? Because he was under authority. Because he came under authority. And his faith now was to the point where he could begin to say, okay, I'm going to ask for this and I'm going to get it. You see, sometimes if we don't come under authority, we come to the king and we say, you know, I want this and this and this. But we're not under that authority, so we don't get what we ask for. If your prayers aren't working, something's wrong. If you're praying something and nothing is happening, something is wrong. Something should be happening. Maybe it's the waiting time. Great. But we wait in peace, not in pieces. We wait in peace. Okay, God, I'm in the waiting and holding, and that's okay. But if I don't know where this is coming from. If I'm not getting my prayers answered, I'm not talking about people, because if I'm praying for somebody else, then they have a responsibility before God to walk their walk, right? But when I come under authority, there's a faith that rises up within me. There's a faith for more finances. I'm calling them in for you guys. I'm calling finances in. I'm expecting somebody to stand up and say, somebody owed me X number of dollars and they paid me this week. And I bless God for that, because I'm calling that in for you. Amen? I'm calling that in. And our faith needs to be attached with it. And when I know I've come under the authority of God, I can come and I can stand before him. And he's not going to say to me, you haven't done this, this, or this. There's sin here, there's sin there. I come before God and I say, if he convicts me on stuff like that, I say, Father, forgive me. I come under the authority of the word of God. and it gives me authority. And then I step out in faith and begin to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Father, thank you today for the authority of the word and the authority of us as believers. God, would you help us to remember to say to the darkness, you don't own me. The things that go on in our minds, the things that go on in our life, God, that we've never walked through before. We've not walked this way before. And we need your help, Holy Spirit. We need to know your mind, Jesus, what you think about this, how I'm to act, what I'm to say about this, Holy Spirit. Father, we want to come under your authority and the authority of your word. I want that, God. And where we haven't, then forgive us, wash us clean. Father, I pray that Holy Ghost firecrackers will go off in our lives as we consider and think about the authority that you have given to us as believers. All authority is given to us. All authority is given to us. And so, Father, we take it. We believe it. We repent when we need to. We pull our minds back and say, you are not going to think that way. When thoughts of unforgiveness come, we are going to knock it right out with the word of God. And we are going to have authority as we walk. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you.
Teach them I am healed, 'cause it's a
death. Okay,
great.
Praise you, Jesus.
Do I have a mic yet? With authority comes some declaration. We're going to learn a new song. It's called I Am Healed. And healing doesn't just speak to our physical bodies. It speaks to a lot of things in our life. So this song, we're going to make a declaration about needing miracles. And it also talks about darkness and it not having any power, and chaos not having any power. When we get authority, we need to declare things.
Amen.
And we know that in Jesus' name there is authority. And we have that authority. So we're going to learn this song, and we're going to make some declarations.
Amen.
When we declare, we need to stand, and we need to take a position of authority.
Amen.
And we're going to love this new song.
Yes, we are. Amen.
It's on the PowerPoint already. Okay. Twice, so you can learn it and then you can declare it the second time. Think of what miracle you need. It doesn't have to be physical healing. Any miracle you need.
And Lord, I'm desperate for your power.
Says I am.
If you need to, if you need a miracle in any area of your life, you need to start declaring it and believing it and walking in faith. That's what the rest of us are here for.
Yes.